evening. So, last week, we discussed the all-important idea of changing our lives with brachos. We discussed how important brachos are, what the essential is. Just review very quickly. First thing we discussed is the idea of mea brachos, 100 brachos. And the language of the Talmud is to say 100 blessings a day, 100 brachos a day. Shneimar ve'ata Yisrael ma'ashem lekecha sholim ki im liyiro. That brachos lead us to fear of God. When we receive fear of God, reverence of God, to think about Hashem. That it's feasible, it's possible for a person to walk around all day and get consumed with life, to lose focus. And that when, and answering Mrs. Reinderman's question at the end of class, why was the Anshei Knesset Gedolah after the destruction of the temple? We mentioned that the reason is because with the destruction of the temple, there was less of a God consciousness in the world. We live in a world today where it's very easy. Somebody taught me a new term. My lunch meeting today was YOLO. So I don't ever hear YOLO.
No.
It's basically like, you know, live it up when you're young. That's like a new slang for like live it up, right? Right. So I didn't know this either. He said if you look on Twitter, it's all over the place. I said.
California.
What?
It's a city in California.
They want to be like the Luzites. They want to live long. But the reality is that the YOLO crowd, I imagine those are the guys who are hanging out wherever. They're not thinking about God, but there are plenty of us who go through the day really not thinking about it. And last week we discussed even a small thing. When we said brach, we said, when you say brach, you say melech, God, just remember that God is king of the world. I said, how many people ever stopped when they said their blessings, said melech, stopped and really pondered what that meant? That God is melech ha'olam, God is king of the world. How many of us even stopped for a second? Melech! I mean, you're talking to God who's melech, and you're supposed to remind ourselves that it's malchus, and that if a person says brachas, 100 brachas a day, what happens is they're constantly being reminded about God. And that reminder leads a person to reverence. A person's thinking about all important, what life is, what Hashem is. Certainly I mentioned this even on Pesach, about the idea of connecting to God, texting, having a relationship, not just intellectually knowing there's God, but brachas is a constant reminder. Actually, I didn't say this, but I thought about this afterwards. Yeah, the opening line, the Revolba does not talk about this, but the generation where they actually decreed Mea Brachas, it's not the time of Anshei Knesset Gedolah, it's the time of David HaMelech. The Chazal say the time of David, people were dying every day, 100 people were dying every day from the plague. And as a result, they were decreed to say 100 blessings a day to counteract that, and the deaths stopped. And really, the Mefarshim, the commentaries point out that brachas brings blessing. Brachas brings blessing. I mentioned last week that when we say a bracha, we're not blessing God. We're blessing God. We're blessing Hashem. But we're recognizing that Hashem is the source of blessing. That recognition brings us blessing. Now, every time a person says a bracha, they bring blessing into their life. I didn't mention this last week, but it's kedai. It's worthwhile that I should mention this now. It's not just saying the bracha. I would contend that to say the bracha, to say the blessing out loud. And I'll tell you why. Now, sometimes people say brachas, and they do it in, you know, I told someone recently, I was giving a shir, and in the middle of the learning, someone says, bracha, I'm going to call me over. I said, you know, it's priorities. You're learning. You don't stop the whole shir to say your bracha. But certainly if you're having a conversation, if it's already a pause, saying a bracha out loud is a merit. I once heard a maisa that Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal, of blessed memory, somebody said there was someone critically ill, and they asked him for a merit. And he said that they should say blessings out loud. And as a result, that the gematria of this is brought down. He's not Ramosha saying this; is brought down a lot of sources. That the gematria of Amen is what? your gematria? 91. Right? And that's the same gematria as malach. Because every time you say amen, you create a good malach. So it's kedai, it's worthwhile to say blessings out loud. I think my kids learn blessings. I didn't even teach it to them half, you know, most of the blessings. They just learned it from us saying the brachas out loud. Right? I make them to say it also, but you say a bracha out loud, it's good chinuch for your children. That itself is tremendous merit, tremendous merit. If you say a blessing out loud, you'll have more kavana. Right? Think about brachas in the morning. If you're saying in your house, Sha'asali kol tzarki, say it quietly. Or Sha'asali kol tzarki. Right? You say a bracha. They know that there's who read the book of Rebbetzin Kanievsky? Anyone who read the book? Right? She used to encourage us. She used to every morning have all the ladies around her. She would say the brachas and everyone would say amen to each other's brachas because it's a merit. Now, it doesn't mean to go out of control, but if you have a couple of girlfriends, you're going out to Jerusalem Grill, right? Or eating in your house or wherever, say the bracha out loud. It's a merit. You'll say the bracha better. And you'll be more conscientious of what you're doing. So it's important to say brachas out loud. Then we discuss that brachas are an absolute obligation. An absolute obligation. Somebody comes to your house and they take things. What do you do, Mrs. Stone? They don't ask. They start coming to us and take things.
You call 911.
You don't have a gun? No, that's enough of that. Right. You would say, what are you doing? You know, what?
They could answer.
Yeah.
Call for help.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I also call it for 911. It depends how big they were, to tell you the truth. But, no one just takes. Who hooks for? If you know the person, right? Someone from the show, you know, they come uninvited to your house, they start taking things in your house. And we discussed by pars last week. Somebody just walks in and starts eating the food without paying for it, you know, walks outside the store. So we discussed, it's Hashem's world. Right? A bracha is a matir. Right? A bracha is a matir. The bracha allows you to partake in, to utilize Hashem's world. And we said when you say a bracha, it allows it afterwards. It's yours. Take it. But until that, you're literally taking it. And then when you recognize and you say a blessing, you're reminding yourself that everything is from Hashem's will. So we ended off last week with two thoughts. One is that people should work throughout the week. And again, I reiterate what I've said many times. That this class is not just for intellectual stimulation. It is a tragedy. It's a tragedy that I have people come to my office and say they feel disconnected to Hashem. It's a tragedy because how do they say brachas? I see people in the Kiddush. This is this week, by the way, I'm at the Kiddush, right? They're having a conversation with somebody and they probably had a little cake. Now they want to have their herring or whatever they want with their cucumber, God forbid, or their pickle. And they're talking to a person. I see them as they're talking, seeing a bracha on the cucumber and eating it. Like, I don't even know what. They're not having a conversation. So, I made a comment last week. If you're talking to somebody, right, and they start talking to somebody else, that's rude, right? You know, it's not a nice thing to do. That's not how you talk. If you have a conversation, you start talking to someone else in the middle of a conversation, right? Here you're talking to Hashem, you're saying a bracha. Say, excuse me one second, I'll have to say a bracha. The chazan, sometimes he was so ill, he said he couldn't eat because he couldn't make a bracha. Right? Sometimes the was a little life and death, he ate without bracha because it was such a strain on him when he said a bracha. It actually reminds me, as I was saying, this is a famous story of Aaron Mikarlin, one of the great Hasidic rabbis. And, a kid once asked him, he says, what's the difference between me and you? He says, you say a bracha, everyone's excited. I say a bracha, no one cares. Everyone says, I'm into your bracha, they don't say, I'm into mine. So he said, Yingala, little boy, let me tell you the difference between your brachas and my brachas. He said, when you wake up in the morning, you're hungry. You want to eat something. But you know, you can't eat it unless you say a bracha. So you're hungry, and very often, I think I'll just put my own addendum, you say the bracha as fast as possible because you're just trying to get to the food. Rav Aaron Clinton says, I wake up in the morning, I want to say a bracha! So I say, what could I possibly eat to say a bracha? Rav Aaron Clinton, I want to say a bracha! He's like, what could I want to say a bracha? That is his existence once you want to connect to Hashem. Right? So the difference, is how they'll say the bracha because of that. Right? A person who looks at their bracha as a great opportunity, right, as a connector, as a way of bringing Hashem into his life, it brings the blessing comes, actually, you don't assume bracha's outline for the side benefits, but the blessing comes because when we recognize that Hashem is the source of all bracha, all blessing, that brings bracha. And in particular, we discussed last week, Birchas Hamazon, benching. That benching is the only biblical brachas. And that benching itself is a recognition of God's mercy, of God's kindness, of God's givingness. And that's why at the end of benching, we start asking for blessing in our house, blessing in our children, for Mashiach. We ask for all the harachamans. Because benching creates this aura, this reality of, connection to Hashem, appreciation of the gift that Hashem gives you. And I made a note that's very, very, it's crazy. Sometimes you can eat with people, they have an hour to talk, and the minute benching comes, oh, bro, I'm in a rush! I gotta get out of here! That's terrible. That's all, and I mentioned that Rav Shach, when people would ask him for a piece of advice, for something, a positive thing to do, he'd say, bench the bench with Kavana. Right? But think about this. Right? If we would bench with the bench with Kavana, how we would change our relationship with Hashem. It wouldn't be just that we change our, if we're saying brachas, baruch meaning, I recognize you, God, are the source of blessing. Ata, you, literally a one-on-one conversation. Hashem, Elokeinu, Melech, King of the world, right, we'll have to, whatever the next part, and you're doing it, and you're stopping, and you're thinking, it changes your life. Changes your whole life. Instead of walking around in a trance, it changes a person's life. Okay, that's what we discussed last week.
Why should we obligate to have a bench for the brachas?
I'm sorry?
Why shouldn't we have a bench for a written thing for the original bracha? Why only by bracha chorona? Maybe it's a
homeless
thing. Why should
I
have a text?
For what, shahakal?
Yeah, why not?
So, there's nothing wrong using the text. The difference is that you're fluent in that, and right, you can visualize yourself saying that. But the other brachas are longer. It's easier to lose focus. Practical. They lose focus. Right? But let's put it this way. If it were to help a person, then you should do it.
Yeah.
The main thing is what works. Benching, in particular. Mm-hmm. People, when they bench from a bencher, and they stop and they say it slowly, it changes it, and it's a tremendous bracha to do. Okay. Says Rav Opal, Rabba ha-malacha la-chiyois la-atzmenu, to give ourselves life, to give ourselves spiritual lives, right? To give ourselves, not only to intellectually know Hashem, but to bring Hashem into our lives, and, right, saying brachas, having Hashem shagar b'piv, right, in our mouth, connecting to Hashem, that is miskariv, it brings us closer to Hashem. Mea brachas shenu mevarchim b'chol yom, we should say the 100 brachas, shen zarech mosami pina. I said at least, and this is what Rav Volba is saying, at least we shouldn't say brachas any different than we talk to a human being. Right? If you would ask, somebody for something, you would say it, normally you would talk, could you please help me with so and so. A person to rush through brachas. I'm going to just give you a small example. Once in a while, I fundraise for different projects. I'll tell you, when I'm fundraising, I'm very deliberate, I'm talking, usually I'm asking people I have a relationship with. So, do you think I say, can you please give me the money? And the person say, I mean, think about this. A person is saying, Shakol Nivaro! God, you're the source of everything. That's what Shakol Nivaro is. God, you're merciful, you're kind. If you bless my family, you're seeing 1,000 miles an hour, right, without even thinking what you're saying it. How about this? I want a person to do me a big favor. As I'm walking by, do you mind doing this for me, thanks?
That's how people say blessings. I don't think you catch that on the tape.
But that, you'll see, again, look at the Kiddush. If you want to do an experiment, look at the Kiddush next week. Experiment. Don't judge people, because we all do this. Look how people say blessings at the Kiddush. Look if they're like Rabbi Aaron Karliner, that they're saying, eating the cake to say the blessing, or they're like the little boy who just wants to get to the cake as soon as possible, doesn't even think about the blessing. It doesn't even think about the blessing. Right? They're like ready to gobble down the food. I mean, it's bad enough. Again, I don't mean to be overly critical. I'm just trying to help ourselves. Because, as I mentioned last week, right, we don't need to wait until we're 79, 89, 109 years old to start thinking, oh, I should say blessings correctly. Every day of our life, we say dozens of brachas, dozens of blessings. Everyone is a gift. Everyone is an opportunity to connect to Hashem. Right? We don't want to waste the time. So it's tragic enough people don't even wait till the person making Kiddush drinks, which they should do. Right? They have to wait till he makes Kiddush, the person drinks to eat. But they're like you just watch people like have a conversation. Bori Pareto. Yep. A Bori Pareto. There's no consciousness. That's a blessing. That's how you say a bracha. That means, you know what that means? The person saying the blessing has no idea why they're saying the blessing, but for some habitual thing. Every bracha is an opportunity. Every bracha is you're saying God's name. You're talking. Baruch atah to you, God. It's rude. That's not how you say a bracha. Yeah.
Should the bracha be said out loud so someone can say amen? Or is it better to say it soft, like the Tishmon Esrei?
No, actually, that's what I started talking about in the beginning. You're saying it out loud.
You should say it out loud.
Yeah, you were here, right? I spoke about it for 5 minutes. That's what I talked about. Don't tape. I spoke about exactly that. You should say the blessings out loud. And I gave a few reasons. Okay, so.
You're just checking.
So bederech avayda shanu holchem ba lo yitachen shehislamdos bebracha rishona shabrichas amazon lo tagbiya gam es hakavana beshloshes habrachas abas achareha v'leragel malachteinu nishtalu ki es islam be'in noisav. So he just said, you see, he started this week that what we said previously about saying the first, if you can say the first bracha benching, if you start benching, you know, realizing how lucky I am, it will uplift the rest of benching. Right? And again, I said, for many people, even seeing it or certainly saying benching out loud, it changes the whole bracha. If you ever, I've been in many Gudelim's houses, they don't bench. They actually even benching. You'll hear them, they'll say their words out loud. He said it should just take Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky 8 minutes to bench. It's a long time, by the way. 8 minutes is a long time. Most people bench, it's like 2 minutes. He knew the words, by the way. That means he's stopping and thinking every word he said. I wanted to say, everybody, you ladies are tzaddikis as you come to a class like this to work on yourself. Take it from me, who heard it from much greater people than me. You want to do 100 skulas? There are lots of good skulas. There is no greater skula than benching with kavana. Okay? There's things which are particular. You want to transform your life. You want to bring bracha to your house. You want to connect to Hashem better. Bench, say birkat hamazon with kavana. Right? Say, it changes everything. Right? If you want to give your house more bracha, and the bracha will be that you'll connect to Hashem so much more deeper, right? It will change your life. It will change life, and you'll get to the point that you want to wash in the morning because you want a bench. I know not a bar in Kalina, there's plenty of great people, they have a decision, everything being equal, to wash in the morning, even those who go to the Soveya classes, right? You can still eat bread, right? To wash in the morning, just to bench. Because you want benching. You want to be able to bench. That it will change. If you want looking for something to work on, As I mentioned last week, everyone should be working on one blessing. But certainly, Birkas HaMazon, right, which is the biblical brachas, which we do, it should be with kavanah. And someone told me last week they only wash once a week on Shabbos, something like that. So, whatever that, then make sure to make a count. Right? Make sure to make a count. Okay. So, Be'inah brachas. Yesh din kadima. Now, we know by blessings, there is a hierarchy of which blessings go first, like, or which are, have more precedence. So, Hevi'u lefanav davar shebrachaso borei pre'etz. You have two brachas. You have a borei pre'etz, you have an apple, and shahakal. And you have shahakal, you have chocolate. Okay, apple and chocolate. Now, there may be people who contend, apple and chocolate, what do I want to make a bracha on? Hey, the apple always goes first. Apple will always go first, because an apple is a more particular bracha. Borei pre'etz kodemes, shehi chashuva she'eno poteres el davracha. Borei pre'etz is more specific, because it only exempts one, one thing. Borei pre'etz, you can't make a borei pre'etz on your steak. You can't go make a borei pre'etz on your pizza. You can't make a borei pre'etz on your rice. If you do that in any of those things, you've said a bracha in vain, a bracha levatala. Borei pre'etz is miyuchad. It's especially for things that go on trees, and not all things that go on trees. I'm not going to go through brachas. My wife gave classes a few years ago, right? Not strawberries, not peanut, right? All these things are not my pineapples. It's not how I eat all. Craisins? What's craisins? Shahakal? Craisins? No! Hadaba. So what? It's a cranberry. But if you said a shahakal, you'd be yotzei. You should. So kol ma shabracha yoyisim mivareres v'yosef. So the more specific the blessing, the more important it is. So hamoitzi boy priagafen, hamoitzi priagafen, for example, are the most important, and they exempt everything, and they're all more important than shahakal. Shahakal, shehi kolasakal. But he says, you know what the funny thing is? There are people, many people, who get more kavana from shahakal, because what do you say shahakal? What do you say? When you stop and say shahakal in the yebivaro, you're thinking ki kulam, kulam ye bidvaro shahakash rafa. Everything comes from Hashem's word. Great shahakal story. Great shahakal story. Anyone ever see, there's a great, fantastic book. If you do not have this book, there's actually two books like this, but it's a worthwhile book to get. It could really have a positive impact. It's called Just One Word, Amen. Ever see that book? Mm-hmm. And there's another book called Let Us Say Amen. Both of those are fantastic books if you want to work a bracha. So it brings the following story down about shahakal. That during World War One, right, we know that during World War One, that the Jewish front, the Palo Settlement area, there was the war was between Germany and Russia, and in the town of Baranovich, which there was a very famous yeshiva led by Rabbi Yochanan Wasserman, which my wife's grandfather learned in that yeshiva in Baranovich, that there was the war, the front moved to Baranovich. And the Baranovich not only had one of the greatest yeshivas for Lithuanians, which was a yeshivish in Snagdish, a place called, by under Balchan Wasim was the Rosh Yeshiva, but also had a very, very famous Hasidic yeshiva as well. And ahead of this Hasidic place, in the middle of this war, that all of a sudden, it was very common compulsive, and all of a sudden, as the Germans advanced, they were shutting down the houses. Lahavdil, like what happened last week in Connecticut. Like, literally, they said lockdown, they had lockdowns in all the houses. What? I said Connecticut. Well, you know, I'm thinking about the shooting. I saw you in Boston. Thank you. Right. Well, I know. You were my site, so I thought Connecticut. In Boston, in that part of Boston, they shut down. You couldn't walk out of your house. There would be danger besides that. So the Germans were shutting down. Now, these people were terrified. Shut down one house. The head of the Hasidic Rav, and they thought they were going to die. They didn't know what the Germans were going to do. This is not Nazi Germany. This is World War One. But still, Baranovich had been under the Russian side. So the father told the kid, "Get out. You escape, right? Because they were killing civilians left and right. Right? You know the history of World War One. There is no Geneva Agreements going on over there. They killed civilian populations left and right. So he told his son, "You get out." when the Germans realized that this boy had escaped the house, you know, they went crazy. Meanwhile, this kid starts running and running and running. He gets to the neighboring town, and after a while, he looks back and he sees huge pillars of smoke coming from the town. And he assumes that his family's dead. I mean, this town looks like it's burned, you know, destroyed. And he starts to cry and this and that. And in the meantime, the front clears, because then they didn't hang out in Branovich, the front. And the boy goes back after several hours to see what happened to his family and to maybe bury them, to figure out what's going on. A little kid. And he gets to the town and he notices his parents' house is totally fine. He knocks on the door and his parents say, "Shleimala! We were so nervous about you." I mean, you have to imagine World War One, you know, tens of millions of people die. Tens of millions of people. We were so nervous. And he said, "I was so nervous about you." She said, "How did you survive? I saw the town was burning down." So his brother Velvel told him, "Let me tell you what happened. When the Germans saw that you escaped, they went crazy." And they said, they told our father, "We're going to kill you for letting your son run away. We're going to kill your family also." So the father, who's the head of this yeshiva, he said to his son Velvel, he said, "Velvel, get me a drink of water." So he said, "Get me a drink of water." And he said, "A brach of shakel miyad b'dvaro." Right? And after he finished shakel miyad b'dvaro, all of a sudden a huge explosion came. And then another explosion, and the Germans said, "The Russians are coming back. Right? We've got to get out of here." And they ran out of the house, and the Russians then reconquered that part of Voronezh, and they were saved. And he said, at that moment, so Velvel, his brother, told Shlomi, he says, and I asked him, right, why did you say a shahakal at that moment? So he said, "Velvel, we have a masor from the Zaydi Milikovitz, their Hasidic dynasty. From the Zaydi Milikovitz, that shahakal niya bidvaro, we know, exempts all foods. If you say a shahakal on anything, you shouldn't do this, but it exempts everything. The language of the Shulchan Aruch is, if you say a shahakal, you're yotze, you fulfill it. But the Zaydi of Milikovitz says that when you say a shahakal, it's not only are you yotze, you don't fulfill everything, but you're yotze, you can escape from any negative. You can be yotze, you can get out of any negative situation." And he said, when the Germans said, "I wanted to be Mishakol, God runs the world. Shakol Nia Bivaro, God runs the world." You know that little boy Shlomi was? That little boy Shlomi who had that lesson as a little kid? What? No. It's Mesivah Shalom. That's what Shalom, no, Rizachi. The Chesidus was Slonim. The Mesivah Shalom, which you learned Shabbat this morning, that was that boy, that Shlomi. He heard that from his brother and his father. Chassidus was based in Baranovich. And the idea is that Shahakol Nia B'Dvaro is that you recognize God is the Shahakol, everything comes from God. And as a scholar, whenever a person's in a moment of danger, to remember that God runs the world. The Nefesh HaChaim, Chaim Volozhin brings this down in his work, Nefesh HaChaim. It's a Rambam and a Nevuchim in other places as well. It's a great story, by the way. I'm not going to say it now. Rabbi, what's his name, said this? On the Chafetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, Rabbi Fischl Schachter had it 2 years ago on a Munah about the guy who drove in the taxi in the Shahakol Nia B'Dvaro, and he said that he was saved because of Shahakol. Do you still have the CD?
I do.
Okay. If not, if you don't get the CD, I can tell you the story. It's just a little bit too long for our class. But that was a great story. Also, the power of Shahakol Nia B'Dvaro, that God runs the entire world. That's what you're saying when you say Shahakol. You're stopping to say, "God, I know this world is yours." But even so, any ha'eitz is more important. A ha'adam is more important. Yaiser kasha lanu l'tzar b'berachas ha'motzi, to say ha'motzi lechem min ha'aretz. Ki kasha lanu l'tzar, it's harder for us to imagine she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu mamish ha'itzi lechem min ha'aretz. That God allows the bread to come from the land. Also lechem, this bread in front of me, it's here because of God, but it is. Osha is bimuchar is priya gafen. You say borei priya eats on a grape. But this specificity reminds that God's greatness is on all of creation. Remember, I said last week that, you know, or I said actually in a different context, that, you know, if a good husband, if you train your husbands correctly, okay, my Robertson has tried to train me since we're married with somewhat success, that you don't just say, thank you. There's an art to it. Right? You don't say thank you for dinner. You say thank you if the potatoes were delicious, they were just the way I liked it. Thank you because, you know, you made me my favorite chicken. You could have made me the dark meat chicken. I like white meat chicken. And you made it duck sauce because I like the duck sauce. You make the onion chicken. You sit there and you recognize the specificity. It's a much better thank you. It's much more important. Well, that's the same thing about the brachos, if I can use that as a mashal. When you say Bari Prayer 8, not just God, thanks for the world! Thanks God for the world! I love God. Now you're seeing the details. That's a much better thank you. You're saying, God, thank you for this apple. Thank you for this carrot. This, all that photosynthesis, the chlorophyll going up, they're getting to me, right? They're going through who knows how many chains of hands. So I can say, thank you for allowing this to happen. Rabbi Zelig Pliskin, in one of his books called Gateway to Happiness. Anyone seen that book? Fantastic book. Great book. One of my favorite books is Gateway to Happiness. So he said his friends had an exercise to appreciate things, and what he did is he wrote down what it took to get his coffee from Brazil all the way to his apartment in Jerusalem. How much chesed that had to happen from the growers and the planters and the cutters and the processing. And he felt when he makes a shahakal on the coffee, how lucky he is, right? Did we ever think about when making a shahakal, like God allowed us to get this coffee? Like, does anyone grow coffee in their backyard, by the way, out of curiosity? Anyone, you know, anyone have anything? Like, a person should appreciate all of the chesed when they have it. It all comes from Hashem allowing it. Khan Yesh Makam Islamis. He says, let's see how we can work on this. Right? He says, the first thing, you can write this down, because this class, next week, by the way, there's not going to be a class. I'm going to be in New York. I have a bar mitzvah. My nephew's bar mitzvah. Amen. Thank you. My sister's, my parents, actually, my parents' first grandchild had a bar mitzvah. My younger sister beat me to the chuppah. So, Baruch Hashem. As it should have been. I was studying in the mirror. So her son is getting bar mitzvah. So kan yesh makom l'islam, how you say a bracha? Okay. So birchas shahakal should do right for several weeks, and every time you say shahakal, just stop and think. I mean, if we would just say that bracha, shahakal nihiyah v'varo, the whole world. How in the world is it possible that somebody says a kiddush? A shahakal with their herring as they're talking to three other people, laughing in the middle of a conversation. Right? I've seen people do that also. That's how you say a shahakal. Do you think you're thinking that God creates the whole world? As you're saying that, right? Your person is not even sure if they said the bracha. Right? To stop and to think, shahakal, yeah, that this entire world is based on God's saying. And do that for a while. And then think of the specificity. Now, when a boy gets married, and I try to tell the chassanim this, the grooms, now usually, they'll just say thank you. In yeshiva, or they're in a college dorm, they go to the cafeteria, they're not used to saying thank you. Right? And if they have good mothers, they teach them how to say thank you. Right? But you know, the first thing is, a boy, it's the first step, you say thank you. So we're like those boys who first get married. So we have to learn how to say thank you to God in general. To recognize that everything comes from God. And then if we're at a level, we can be specific and say, Kabrochas b'kavana, right? To do the details, to thank God, not only for, thanks for creating the world, no, thanks for creating this apple on my table right now. This thanks God for creating this piece of bread that I'm eating right now. Thanks for this grape, how lucky I am, right now. Right? And so first to work on shahakal, because if you can't do shahakal with kavana, shahakal with kavana means to be conscientious, that it should permeate our soul. That it should permeate our soul. That we should get a high from the bracha. That we should. Then again, it doesn't mean to scream like a mashugana. I gave that story the time I was walking by the bus stop. I told that story last week. Never told that story? I was walking in Jerusalem, so I was learning the Meir Yeshiva. This is what you should not do. Of course, we have to be normal, in a sense. I'm walking by a bus stop on the other side of the street. I'm actually on one side of the street. The guy's on the other side of the street. Takes a 2-gallon thing of like Coke. And he says, Baruch Adam! Now, there's like 3 Beis Yaakov girls, like right next to him, like laughing. They're laughing their heads off. They never saw such a sight in their life. Like they're like giggling. They don't know where. They're like, he's screaming at the top of his lungs, Ata! And I'm like walking back looking like, what? And he, Shaka! And he finishes the broccoli and he drinks. Like, you obviously wasn't a well person, but you saw the guy was not well. So we should say brachas with kavana, not to, I don't think it's a yitzhara by anyone to do that, but it's to be focused. Nobody talks to people like that. But it means to say a bracha, to stop and to think about it, and to say it loudly, that someone can say an amen to it, because again, that creates a good malach, right? If you can't, you don't have to stop the whole room, right? It means to say a bracha with kavana. Otz gula, nifla yeshna bechsnen. There's another thing, I mentioned this in the class on gratitude, on Hakara Satayiv, about having an appreciation. And that is that when a person says brachas, they come to appreciate it as more, as well. Remember what I said about gratitude? That not only are you more willing, but if I stop and I think, right, let's go back to that dinner that my wife made me with the potatoes, just like I like it. And a chicken, white meat chicken, right, with a duck sauce, not the onions, and not the ketchup, and not anything else. And the lemonade is perfect. Right? Not only do I have Hakaras HaTov, but I enjoy my food more. I'm thinking about, wow, this is, the lemonade I like. And the meats, it's tender just the way I like it. It becomes personal. There are people who have wonderful gifts in life and they just don't appreciate it. They take it for granted. People, they take their spouses for granted. They take their children for granted. They take their health for granted. I kid you not, over the past week, I can't tell you how many calls I had people, whether it's a daven people who are sick or to do something. I mean, it's been a crazy week. Like, literally, I had so many unfortunate calls. I'm like looking forward to some good calls. But you know why I don't get the good calls as many? In theory, I should be getting millions of calls. Baruch Hashem Rabbi Levine, I can see today. Baruch Hashem Rabbi Levine, I can hear today. Baruch Hashem Rabbi Levine, I don't have any terminal illnesses. Baruch Hashem Rabbi Levine, I can walk today. Baruch Hashem Rabbi Levine, I don't get those calls because, you know what? Most of us take it for granted. But if we didn't think about these type of things, I said if you said Asher Yotzer correctly, appreciate that our body's functioning, heart's beating, right, our bowels coming out of our kidneys. I mean, these are huge things, which there are people who would love to have normally functioning kidneys, normally functioning hearts, and good ears and eyes. I mean, this is tremendous. So when you say a bracha on your food, let's go back to our food now, it's not just gives me an opportunity to drink. It's not just that we say the bracha, but literally we enjoy our food more. It allows us to enjoy not food or asher yotzer. It enhances our whole, not relationship to Hashem, it makes us appreciate the kindnesses much more. And again, I mentioned by gratitude, if you stop and you think of the details of your spouse, of your friend, of your children, of your parents, you stop and you ponder and you think about it. You enjoy life more. Right? Remember Rabbi Rieti, Friday night when he made that dot, that black dot here, and you see the whole white wall. Mm-hmm. Right? If we stop and focus on all the positives, we enjoy life more. It's the same thing about even our food. If we stop and we think about it, we'll enjoy our food more. The the Gemara says as well. Actually, it's a Yalkut. It's a Medrash. Tamu v'ru'u ki tov Hashem. Taste and see that Hashem is good. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have a mekayim kol mitzvah shenasati l'cha b'Torah. Did you fulfill all the mitzvahs that I did for you in the Torah? Me omen ha'ilan, have a mevarach alein, shemachalta v'lo barakta ata goizla saperis v'esa ilan. If you eat and you don't make a blessing, maybe, yeah. I'm not enjoy it. You tell me, he's honest, yeah, just in case. Maybe. This bracha, Brain of Fashas, you just stop and you think of this bracha, unbelievable bracha. Yeah, go ahead.
Because it wasn't in your mind, but if you have them in order up there in front of you, then you say them in order.
And let's say you made a mistake, you would still say, you have to say Bar Prayats. Okay. Yeah, you would still say Bar Prayats. Okay. So if you eat and you make a bracha, you're mamlech Hashem, and havitamo v'ru'u ki toiv Hashem, and taste and appreciate the goodness Hashem gives for you. Gam chanikra brachas kol mitzvahs, k'mo b'Yerushalmi, Rabbi Pirush, that Azayis Ranan is called all mitzvahs, you mekayim all mitzvahs. First of all, when you say a bracha, you come to Yira, you come to reverence. But not only that, but it's tamu v'ru'u ki toiv Hashem. You'll stop and you'll think how good like this is, how lucky I am. It's not just that you'll come to be more God consciousness. Really, you know, what's a fuel? We talked about this in the car stuff. If we're excited, if we're appreciative, God gives us so much, we want to serve God. Right? If we feel the goodness of God, we see the goodness of God, we have energy, we have spiritual energy. Right? There's no one as lethargic as a depressed person. Depressed people are lethargic. People who are down don't have energy. They don't they don't have as much energy as they should have or could have or would have if they'd be appreciative. I think in marriage, right? Either your spouse does something great for you, you want to reciprocate. I hope you do. Right? Hey, he goes out, he buys you this, you go back. There's a positive energy. If we would stop and see all the chesed Hashem, we say, what could I possibly do? Hashem gives me so much. Hey, Hashem gives me. You ever hear these stories about the Chavetz Chaim and the Baron Cutler? Right? The way they talk, God, you give me so much. Right? You know, the Chavetz Chaim didn't have a couch, come on. He wasn't a wealthy guy, but he felt God's constant giving in his life. And certainly on a spiritual level, he felt it tremendously. Right? We should have that feeling. That's the feeling we should have. Right? We'll feel God's greatness. I mean, don't raise your hand. Just think about it. How many of us, when we said a blessing over the past week, do we think how lucky I am? And stop and appreciate the gifts of life. Don't you think if we would do that, wouldn't that enhance our life? Wouldn't it even enhance our eating? So the person who runs to the food and the kiddush doesn't even realize that they'd enjoy the cake more if they'd stop and say, Green's cake from Pars. You know, somebody yesterday, someone brought the cake in because they had a yard site, so they brought it for a bracha. So they said it was the chocolate babka from Green's. So the cake's only there for the chocolate. There's more chocolate than cake. Yeah. And you love that Green's cake. It's like oozing with chocolate. You love it. So instead of the kiddush, the first thing, grabbing it, this is before Mrs. Glazer came, right? So you're grabbing the cake and saying a bracha, you say, wow, this cake, I only eat this cake on Shabbos. And I love Green's cake. Thank you, Hashem, for allowing me to have this. You'd enjoy the cake more, you'd savor the taste. Right? I'm telling you, the things that we do, without stopping and thinking about it. And first and foremost is marriage. Okay, I'm telling you, even this week, I had two or three people, some from here, some from there, talk to me about marriage and how they want to get married, how desperate they are to get married. Hey, do you know what it means to get married? Everyone says, here is married. You know what it means to be married? How many of us stop and think how lucky we are? How appreciative we can be for such a thing? Children! Right? I mean, people, their children leave, they don't have children. I mean, how lucky! Right? It's not a small thing. And people take it absolutely, I mean, they take it for granted. You know what it is? How many of us, honestly, how many of us said, Baruch Hashem? 3 a.m. in the morning, Baruch Hashem. 4 a.m. in the morning, Baruch Hashem. And my kids, my son's being toilet trained right now. Oh, Baruch Hashem! It's only 2 times on the carpet today. It could have been 3 times! Right? Yisrael will be a gullah with Torah one day. But at one point he was toilet trained. But we appreciate it. Our health. We say Asher Yatzar, I'm telling you after this week, and I heard this week, crazy. Mamish crazy. I can tell you, some things you guys know. I mean, crazy things are this week. About health. Health! How lucky we are! You think, right? Asher Yatzar. We appreciate what we have more. Right? Even if there was no commandment to say brachas, if we would say Asher Yatzar, we appreciate our health. That's a gift. The average human being walking this earth doesn't think about their health until it's too late. They don't enjoy life as much. And they don't enjoy their sight. They don't enjoy their hearing. They don't enjoy, in fact, their heart's beating. Right? Enjoying life. You make an Asher Yatzar, enjoying life. Make a Shahakal. Not just connecting you to God. Not just reminding you that God's King. But you enjoy what you have because you're focusing on it. I said a story to Victor Miller, his grandson was under the table once, and he had an apple. He was looking at the apple. He didn't realize his grandson was in the house. He says, "Hush." He started talking to the guy. He says, "Hush, this apple, it's so tasty. It's juicy. It's crunchy. And not only that, God, you made this apple beautiful. You could have made this food ugly. But you made it beautiful. And not only that, it's healthy. It's good for me. And not only that, you put the apple that came from the state of Washington in Brooklyn! Right? I don't know if he said that word. But, and then he said, boy parades. His grandson said, like, Baruch! He said, Baruch! I mean, that's a regular boy parade in the middle of the week. Rabbi Miller is a holy Jew. He's a great man, right? He's a deep person. But if you'd have even a little bit of that, don't you think that would enhance our lives? Do that daily. That's what a bracha is. Right? Bracha. Bracha. Yeah, I always say that if you say brachas, you get blessing. Well, to me, this itself is a blessing. To appreciate life, to be connected to Hashem, to have a vibrancy, a passionateness in our Yiddishkeit, in our Judaism. You taste God's goodness in this world, even on the fruit. You'll appreciate it, you'll savor it. But if it's just a good food, but you're not going to savor it. A person who makes a bracha and is mamlech, you say God is melech, and you think about it's literally Kodesh Shemayim. Remember I said last week that until you say a bracha, we call it the Gemara, it belongs to God. Right? That this apple, this chocolate, this bread, this cup of wine, a few minutes ago it wasn't mine. It was part of the heavenly, it belonged to God. And I said a bracha, I got it, I'm eating it, and you're thinking that God allowed me to have this. Right? I remember my mother used to tell me when I was a little kid, when I was younger, there was a famine in Ethiopia in the early 80s. Now there's a guy, Bobby Wonder, sang a song, We Are the World. Right? Bobby Wonder was the name of this guy. Right? And there's a great major famine. Stevie, I know, so make sure you're listening. Right? So, So, you know, and my mother's always on level fighting. You better eat your food. You better eat your food because there's a famine in Ethiopia. You should be appreciative. And I used to say, I think I was probably, I don't know, 10 years old, I think it was a joke, you know. You have a blanket. And then people used to send blankets there, like, you know, appreciate your blanket. But you know what? There's so much wisdom to that. There's, you know, it may have to be a lot more context, but if we really appreciate how lucky we are, right, we take things for granted. Right? I mentioned this in passing on Shabbos last week. You know, the Boston Marathon event reminds us that in a minute life can change. Right? You think that all those runners or the people in the crowd who lost limbs, do you think they ever appreciated a limb as much now that they lost it? God forbid we should ever have something that happened again. Right? Do you think in a second you can lose it? We assume that we get it. Again, I don't want to focus too much because I spoke about this at length when we did our Karas HaTayiv. We did gratitude. But we'll appreciate what brachas allow us and enable us and empower us to do is to appreciate and to savor the gifts that Hashem gives us. And to have mitosefes or munal and to add on our connection, a bond with us in Hashem. The karas chas, the recognition of God's kindness in this world, in everything, in every pleasure, and every function that we have. Hamisragel ksas, the person just begins to get used to not saying a bracha out of rote, right? Something I have to get done with, like that little boy, not like Rav Aaron Cohen who said a bracha, who ate to say a bracha, because the bracha was the main thing. If we start to not to say brachas without thinking about it, right? We start to think about it and to utter the words and to ponder what we're saying. To stop and, if you're getting tremendous kavanah, just to stop and think what we're saying when we're saying it. Baruch, God, you are the source of blessing. Ata, you say Ata to God. You know what that is? Ata, you. Hashem Melech, God's King of the world. Shahakol Niyar, that you are the source of everything. Or, God, I'm going to talk about the details. I don't have specificity. Right? If a person gets to begin to do that, Rago Bakash call Anana Ba'olam Yeshkon Tamruchni Shiatayma. You'll feel even the spirituality. But that's not like Elu Haya Adam and Varcha Meir Brachas Beyond Bekavana. If your person says 100 blessings Bekavana, I would contend if you see a person who can say, now I'm not talking about OCD type people, you know, like a mechanical. A person really stops and thinks of the blessing, that's the type of person you'll see with a smile on their face. That's the type of person who will be with a skip in their step. That little skip in their step. You'll see 100 times a day. What a beautiful world. Wow, how lucky I am. And the person will have a palpable feeling towards Hashem. Kama kedusha, how much holiness that brings. Kama emuna, how much emuna, how much connection and emuna that brings to a person. Kama hakaras, how much recognition of Hashem that brings a person. Kama yirashamayim, how much reverence of Hashem. Mitosefes lo kol yoyim. Right? That's why it's Mekayim Kol Mitzvah. The princess says brachas, it leads to all mitzvahs. Because the bracha itself leads to mitzvah. It gives us the fuel. Because if we don't feel passionate about our Yiddishkeit, we don't feel passionate about Hashem, we're not going to have the spiritual energy to push ourselves. But if we see the kindness of Hashem, we appreciate Hashem, we feel connected to Hashem. Right? That leads to mitzvahs. It's our munas deeper. Our appreciation's different, people. Our kedusha is different, and even our enjoyment of the world, our material enjoyment is different. It's only by benching again. If a person, how lucky I came and I was starving, right? And now I had a good meal. Well, wow, Baruch Hashem. Mizel Islam Lamaisa, Ninas Alutam Tom Ruchni. See, he says a remarkable thing. Yeah, when you say a blessing on a fruit, don't just taste the fruit. Taste the tam ruchni. This was God's fruit. Mm-hmm. Right? Stop and think about the spirituality of it. Kama panam, and every blessing you're thinking, this was from this is God's world. God's world. God has allowed me to have it. I'm going to connect with this. Kol avoida Islam, of course, it takes work, but he says if you do this, then you'll be, as the pasuk says, Tamu v'ru ki tov Hashem, you'll taste and you'll see that God is good. That is, the blessings themselves will lead us to a recognition and a feeling that Hashem is ultimately constant. Just to review the two things he really focused on this week was number one, okay? Number one, but when you say 100 brachas during the day, whatever amount of brachas you're doing, okay, 100 is more difficult for ladies than men, but whatever amount, leave the idea of 100 brachas per se, because if you have to do three davenings a day, you can get easily 100 brachas during the week, the three shemoneses. But certainly, when you're saying shahakal, say shahakal, start with shahakal. Every time you say shahakal, niyah birvaro, sayeth kavana. Remember the story that of the Shlonim Rebbe, right? Then he was a little boy, that's what his father said, that you think that God controls the world. It's not like a skula. That's the meaning of shahakal. That shahakal means that God, this is God's world. Shahakal, God creates anything. And then you get to the next level, which is specificity. A person can stop and say a bracha and appreciate the details. Appreciate the details. And when a person gets to do that, then they can then enjoy it more and then eventually get to the spirituality every time they make a blessing. Okay? Questions? Yeah.
Two things. I find it interesting that it's a blessing you say when a fruit or a fruit is especially good. What is that about? I mean, we're supposed to enjoy every bracha we say for enjoyment. But if something is very especially good, there's a special bracha that we say.
Which bracha?
I remember learning that. I don't know it. I don't know if fruits are not as tasty. I don't know. I'll look it up.
Okay. Let me know. If something's new, we say Shachianu.
No, but this is.
I'm not No, yeah, that's a special. I've never heard of such a bracha. Yeah. Maybe me say with the extra kavana. But if you find anything, you'll let me know.
And the other thing, it's a bit of a paradox thing, but there are forbidden foods that we eat. But yet, when we eat them, if God forbid we do eat it, we do say a bracha on them as well.
What do you mean by that?
Well, if a person, I don't know, on something that's trained, if a person has to get something, he's there. So
I'll tell you a funny story. I was in law school, so I was makar of this boy, actually from Pennsylvania, from Scranton area. And, you know, he grew up going to reform camps, and, like, really far off. So he started coming for, I think I mentioned once, the first time he came to me for Shabbos, he had been one time by a person who was barely Orthodox for Shabbos. So he came to me for Shabbos, and he said to me, so when are we playing Monopoly? So I looked at him, I said, what are you talking about? He says, don't Orthodox just play Monopoly, you know, on Shabbos? I said, you're in for a different Shabbos. So this boy started becoming observant. So I said, take on one thing. So he comes back to me a few weeks later, he's like, I've decided what I'm doing. I said, what are you doing? He says, I'm saying blessings. Now he's eating McDonald's. Like, you know. So the halacha is, you don't make a blessing. No, you do not make a blessing on something that's non-kosher. If you're critically ill or you need it for your health, then it becomes a mitzvah to eat it. You would actually make a bracha. But if you're just to make a bracha, not kosher for you, would not do, actually.
I'm thinking it's on a mechadal that you have to say blessings in Gan Eden, okay? And they went and ate something Hashem said not to eat. Would they have made a bracha on it? It is God's fruit.
No.
I mean, this is like theoretical. I know it's a little bit pushing.
No, it's actually like Sabbatean, to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. That to say a bracha or to do what's holy and not holy, right? That's Sabbatean. That's a Spinozian, Sabbatean type of thought. We don't do these type of things. We say it's still stealing the forbidden fruit. Call it what you like. Saying eating pig and saying a bracha, it's even more. It's worse even.
Insults.
It's worse in a sense because it's not the whole point. It's kind of going against the bracha. The point of the bracha is, God, you created the world. I recognize you, God. I want to connect to you, God. But you told me I could do this, so why in the world are you doing it? It's going against what the bracha really symbolizes. At some level, you can hear what you're saying, but when you really ponder what brachas are, the brachas is a recognition that God controls or runs the world, and he already told me not to do this. Right? So how could I make a blessing on something God told me not to do?
If you knew that it's forbidden.
Right.
This is theoretical.
Yeah, it's not a bad question. Right. Okay, anything else? I just want to, end again. I really Next week I'm not going to be here. The following week will be the last class on the brachas. But you know, it's our lives. You know, we're Torah Jews here. You live long. Everyone's going to live 120 plus years. Hey, this is really the opportunity. In the next few weeks, maybe you'll do it on your own. But where there's a focus on it, to work on our brachas. If we do it, we can transform our relationship to Hashem for the rest of our lives. Okay? It's possible to go through our lives never saying brachas correctly, never stopping to think, never cherishing the moment. It's very easy to do that. I'd say 90 plus percent of religious Jews are able to do that. Hey, if you want to take advantage of the next few weeks, take whatever bracha you're doing, whether it's shahakol or asher yatzar, make a chart, right? Make a chart how you did it, and benching as well. Make a chart, right? How you did it. You think it's athletes do that when they're practicing. People who are working on themselves do that. If you want to work on yourself, this is a golden opportunity where you're conscientious of it, right? Make a chart. Think about it. If it becomes part of us, it won't just be for the next few weeks, it'll be for life. And that is such a great acquisition. And that brings bracha in our daily lives, it brings bracha to our mishpacha, it brings bracha for us eternally. Okay, thank you.